I'm glad to be in New York, too. You know, I'm always glad to come up here. When you're raised in the South, Yankee money is the only money that's any good. And I wanted to go to the track and get some. Another reason I'm glad to be here, this is regular seminar. You know, we've been given those track sides. And God, Howard get up so tight and ball people out and chew people out. And when Howard gets uptight, it makes me uptight. I didn't even get to tell any stories. I got so dang many stories to tell, don't even know where to start. You know, behind every good man, though, there's a good woman. And that's where they belong, about three steps behind. So this time I brought my other half with me. I call her my bitter half. And she's behind me 100%. I lost her three times in Chicago. Leroy, that's my wife. But like everyone said, we're here to help you. Mikey said that, I said that there wasn't any stupid questions. Well, we used to say there wasn't any stupid questions, but dang, since I've been on dial-a-hat service, woo, doggy. Man. So I've come up with a good answer. And if they say, I hate to ask this stupid question, I say, well, what about, let's don't embarrass yourself and ask any stupid question. But really, try to get all the benefit from the PERCO members, the teaching members that you can get while you're here, because that's why we're here. We're here to help you. Thank you.
Our next charter member never had any illusions about whether there were stupid questions. In fact, he even calls intelligent questions stupid questions. He's known to some people as Mr. Acerbic because he gives short answers and is intolerant of people who ask questions who don't seek the answer by themselves first. But underneath, he's really a pussycat, a wonderful guy, a man who...
Sit down, Howard.
A man... Because everybody refers to him as Adolf Hitler of PERCO, but actually, he's a sweet guy. And his greatest achievement is that when he was fired, if you'll pardon the expression, from a high-paying executive job, he went immediately into handicapping and made an equal or better income from that. If the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, then here's a man who really is deserving of that phrase. He made a little statement this evening, which, of course, was inaccurate. He said, boy, I'm hungry. I just hate to go without a meal. We all know that he's never, ever gone without a meal. Dick Schmidt, the editor of the follow-up.
Well, that was a unique gift. I have never been introduced as tasty before. Thank you very much. Welcome to Albany. I was going to start out with a little story about rats and tubes, but I guess... because it's sort of a... seminar tradition, but I guess we won't. I really don't have very much to add. Being a new charter member, or one of the latest charter members, has always been a drag at these introductions because all the good platitudes get used up first, and I ask questions, that kind of thing. But I did want to touch on something that Jimmy said. There's no stupid questions. I don't mind stupid questions. I really don't. But what I talked to the beginners class about this. What really sets me off is someone who calls up and says, now, I'm really stupid, but it just annoys the heck out of me, and I usually wind up agreeing with the people. You're not stupid. And I think that it's very self-destructive to go around introducing yourself as, how do you do, I'm Jack Smith, and I'm stupid. No, don't say those kind of things to people. You're not stupid. You may be ignorant of certain aspects of life. So are we all. I mean, as I told the beginner's class, if there's a plumber in the audience, he knows an awful lot about things that I'm completely ignorant of. Electricians, airplane pilots, all these folks. I know we have a client out in California that used to scare me to death because I figured the guy couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. And I'm talking about a man who drove to my house 4 times to learn to turn on his computer. I found out he flew 747s for a living on airlines that I flew on. And that really kind of humbled me because I thought, well, this guy is dumb. No, he isn't. The guy was a little slow and taken aback and intimidated by this machine. But what he was ignorant. And we're all ignorant about something. And since you're paying good money to sit in the audience, you're standing right up and saying, hi, I'm $300 ignorant. Fill me up. That's okay. It's fine to be ignorant. Just don't start off your questions by, hi, I know this is stupid. Yes, it is. Get out of my face. That's going to be your answer. But take advantage of the opportunity. You're ignorant. We have a cure for ignorance in one specific aspect of your life. And actually, if you'll listen to all of us, we'll help you with your handicapping. If you listen to Howard, he'll help you with a lot of your life. And that's something that's very, very, very important, and that PERCO is unique in that we try to make better people. Howard has recognized the fact that you can know everything there is to know about a horse and a horse race and still not be a winner, still not be a winner in life or a winner even at the races. So kind of sit back and enjoy it, but do a little self-examining of what's going on in your life. See if Howard can't help you. See if some of the others can't help you. And stop calling yourself dummies. Thank you.
We cease to have charter members when we put Dick in. Some people said you stopped one too late. But really, a charter member... to be a charter member must have been with us at the beginning or at some transition point after the beginning, to have gone through the suffering and gone through the various phases of the methodology and been there to defend it and to make it work so that others would not offend it. So we have teaching members now, and one of the best teaching members we have is from the man who lives on the shores of New Jersey, looking across the waters at Wall Street, where he is a futures salesman, buyer, futures, his own office, his own business. And he recognized one thing, that although he's one of the most brilliant minds on Wall Street, his return on investment at the horse races was even greater. An excellent applier of the methodology, a winner almost from the very beginning, and a very good teacher, I give you Richard Diamond.
Thank you, Howard. I want to welcome everybody. And when I look out into the room, I kind of see 4 groups of people. First group are the winners. And that's really what you're here for in terms of your goals for the seminar. And in that group, you've got people whose proficiency is such that they are winning at this game, that they are making money at this game. And also in that group, I want to include the people who have a winning attitude, who are perhaps on the borderline, but maybe this seminar will put them over the hump. I would hope that most of you out there would consider yourself in that category. And if that's the case, it's going to be a very valuable experience for you, because these seminars do something to your mind. They do something to your mindset. And they do something that you really can't get on your own, that you can't get by reading the manuals. And they get you the winning attitude. And they get you so that you have confidence in the methodology and in what you're doing. There's also a group of you that we've already discussed, the people who think of themselves as ignorant or stupid, and I think we've covered that. We're here to answer the questions, and in your own minds, you've got to decide, Am I applying myself sufficiently? Am I putting in the work necessary to achieve that winning category? And if you're willing to do that, you're going to move out of the stupid, ignorant, whatever you want to call it, category pretty quickly. And we'll see that in you. I enjoy talking to people who call me, who ask me questions which show me they're willing to do the work. Okay? But it's also very easy to tell when a person calls me because they're lonely. And you get those kind of calls and really don't have any interest in handicapping. And those people are best off, you know, raising guppies or something. There's a third category of people, and some of the new people probably fall into that category, and that's the totally confused, totally overwhelmed. Don't be, okay? A lot of what's going to be said, a lot of what's going to be discussed may go right over your head. Don't get bogged down. Go on to the next discussion, okay? Because enough will rub off, and you'll be surprised how much does rub off, that you're not going to understand 100%. Okay, but when you go back and you review your notes and you listen to the tapes, you're going to realize, hey, now I understand what they were talking about. And this may occur a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, whatever. Okay, the key is don't be intimidated. Listen, keep an open mind, and don't get bogged down in the nitty-gritty details. That's also important. There's a lot of details to the methodology that when you're new in this, you tend to get bogged down in. And the purpose of the seminar is not to do the details. That was the purpose of this afternoon. The purpose of the seminar is a broader outlook on things. Okay? And the last group, and my hope, and I think everybody's hope up here, is that we don't have anybody in there, if not maybe a small proportion. That's the losers. Okay? But you have to admit that there's going to be some of you out there that just don't believe what we're saying. Some of you that believe that racing is fixed, some of you believe that we have special skills that you don't have, some of you that believe some of the horsey sayings, the jockey stiffing the horses, okay, the trainer not trying, all those things, okay, and with that kind of an attitude, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to achieve anything at this seminar, okay. So realize if you fall into that category, you need to get out of that mindset for this to be any worthwhile. And you're paying good money for it, and you should be able to get something out of it. That's all I got right now. Thank you very much.
Jimmy kind of jumped to the gun when he introduced his wife, Leroy. We were going to introduce all the wives who were here. Leroy always puts up with me for a couple of weeks every year. Jimmy gives up his bedroom, private bath, and I get all the goodies. She takes good care of me. I'm the only civilized, educated American extant who takes his vacation in Oklahoma. But I love going down there every year. Thanks to her hospitality. A woman behind another man who's very prominent in our organization is one who let her husband take early retirement when he was becoming one of the top executives of the Pacific Bell Telephone Company so that he and she could enjoy a longer life and a more fruitful life because he showed he had the skills. And he had them because she believed in him from the very beginning. And she's with us tonight. Shirley Brohammer. And I guess Carrie Diamond hasn't arrived yet, but I know she will appreciate the fact that she's a little bit more the power behind the throne than any of the other wives, actually. But you'll meet Carrie and you'll understand what we mean. She's really a dynamic individual, and I'm sure Richard attributes much of his success to her prodding. I mean, with an electric prodder, too. I don't mean any of this. In my case, when I went on this expedition, finding this, trying to chart this uncharted sea, I used to go down to Mexico. stayed in Calexico and across to Mexicali, because you can make $1 bets. And I felt that you cannot theorize a methodology, you must do it in practice. So I would bet money, $1, $2. Later on, I get very bold and bet $2 and $3. And as I became a winner, I became entranced with the thought of winning 13 out of 20. So I would go home. Of course, if I won a $12 mutual, I've spent $50 buying people dinners. So I would go home to my wife and I said, "Boy, I'm going to be king of the world here. Look at her, 13 out of 20. This is working. I've got the money." She says, "How much money did you make, dear?" $20. She put up with it. She didn't complain, but she gently said, "Don't you think if you're that good, you ought to be making a lot of money doing this?" So I steeled myself, which all of you will have to do someday. Steel yourself to betting proper money management. And she was the one who originated the concept that we have projected onto all of you. If your wife asks you how you did, honey, hand her a $100 bill and tell her to shut up. No wife should ever ask her husband how he did, except he should report to her what he did after 20 races, but not before. So here is the young lady, young in my heart at least, the old bag. Here is the lady who contributed to this methodology, the one great factor, that is making winning handicappers win money and give their wives $100 bills. My wife, Mary. For years, we operated with her and Jay Dodd on the top of my grand piano. I couldn't play the piano for 4 years, so I took retirement from music business because we were running the entire practice on a piano. So it has a certain musical quality, this methodology, because it was done on a piano. And we would lose things, lose checks by the dozens, fail to do things we're supposed to do. People were very late and wonder what the hell happened to my order. So my daughter, who was the director of a museum at the time, would organize the county facility into a working operation, decided she would take over. And since she has done so, we have not been perfect, but we have certainly been far less imperfect. The one who really runs Perco and who runs me, my daughter, Mary. The methodology may be my brainchild, but it was my third child. She was my first. Bert Main will now do something. I wish Carol were here. We could introduce Carol, Dick Schmidt's wife. She is the best half of that family. And little Max. Little Max, he has his little jockey suit on. Dick was going to bring him down and introduce him as Chris McCarron. But he faded on us. The biggest problem I have discovered over the years in people understanding this methodology or putting it into practice is, and I found this so true with almost any procedure, is that people don't understand the concept behind it. I had the privilege of speaking at Huey Moll's length variance seminar in July, and the entire room, not one person, or maybe one or two, but certainly not the majority, understood the concept of superhorse times relative to the variant, and they just wanted to look at numbers. Understanding the concept of this methodology really is indigenous to understanding it completely. You see, I'm not brighter than any of you, especially in this field, but because I understood the concept, having, I won't say created it, because nobody really creates anything, having developed it from the thoughts of others and deviating from those thoughts when I felt they were inaccurate, gave me a concept. So I don't need a computer to handicap most of the time. I don't need a lot of things, because I know the concept and I can see through the weight of numbers. And of course, it's very hard for someone who creates something or develops something to be able to share that process with everybody. But one person who got it right off was Jim the Hat Bradshaw. Tom Brewhammer came up to my house twice to make sure he understood the concept. Bob Purdy came twice. Every one of these charter members completely understood that they needed to understand the concept, and then the rest came automatically. So just to remind you that you must absolutely understand the concept, is Bert Main, who's put together a presentation on it with his own incisive factors, because he, at one time, did not understand the concept. So he's probably the best man to explain it to you. Bert?
On a little motor. It was pretty catchy, and it worked well for those of us that are different heights, and since nobody here is the same height, it worked very, very well. But I don't see the little buttons, so maybe they've got a new dais, or a new lectern this year. One of the things before I get talking about concepts is that it should be getting cooler in here. The fellow checked the air conditioning unit in here, said it's up on the maximum setting and looks to be set right, so he's on the roof checking to see if there's a problem with the unit up there. So we can hope. Think positive thoughts. It's going to be getting cooler here.
Think cool, man.
Minute by minute, it's going to be getting cooler in the room. The door's shut because if it kicks on, we won't notice as the door's open. You know, that's a guarantee. If you open the door in an air-conditioned building, pretty soon you're air-conditioning the outside, and it's more effective outside than it is in. So there's that. The other thing is that I don't know, how is the water, your water pitchers, that one's empty. And I'm guessing from there, darn near, it is now.
Another miracle.
Welcome to Lourdes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm guessing that. Got a baseline problem? How are we to pour some of that water on? Just heal your baselines, yes. Okay. I thought for a while that being a Baptist, ended up as a Presbyterian. You know, could have had my own show in Del Rio, Texas. 50,000 watts for Jesus, yes. Anyway.
Didn't have a horse. They got a radio station.
Yeah, well, hey, what can I tell you, Mikey, you know? Hey. When it gets real warm, this happens to my mind. I'm sorry, but it does. So if you check the... 2 pays, 3 pays, who cares, you know? You pay your money. So check the water pitchers, anybody that's near one, and if they don't have water in them, like this one up here, I'm assuming that they didn't come in and refresh all the water pitchers between... Okay, good. Well, I mean, I hate a good shouting to go in vain, you know, and I told them at the desk all kinds of stuff. They didn't do this, they didn't do that, and then I saw somebody pour some water from one of them, and I kind of went, whoa. Well, maybe they did a couple of things, but they haven't, so, okay. At least during the break, it's pretty distracting to have the kid in here with a cart going up and down the aisles pouring water and doing all that stuff, so I think during the break maybe we'll get them to refresh all of that. There is supposed to be, and I've got people checking on this, a coffee break that we'll be having in an hour and a half or so that we'll have soda and coffee and tea and all of that. So hang in there. Think positive thoughts. That's one of the concepts, actually, being positive about what you're doing. The best concept, the first concept that I think is really, really a key is the concept that comes from Oklahoma when Jimmy tells people, shoot, it's just a dang horse race. And that's a key concept. It's just a dang horse race. You know, we get so bound up and tied up and all of this and stuff that we're doing sometimes, we lose perspective. So the message there for the concept is keep it all in perspective. What you're doing is trying to analyze and predict a horse race. You're not doing brain surgery on your best friend.